This is Aaron Pednati, and I am at Feel Me, a multi-sensory art installation at Collar Works on River Street in Troy. And I'm talking to Yiyi Mendoza and Adam Elopt about their installation, which is very interesting. It involves a brew of fermented... just talk me through it. Yiyi, let's go to you.
So it's made with corn masa. It's a light fermentation. It takes 3 to 5 days. And the main components is corn masa, unrefined cane sugar, lime, and then it ferments for a couple of days. It gets diluted with water, and then it has more lime and more and salt added to it when it's being prepared for drinking.
And it tastes kind of like a liquid blast of flavors that you associate with Mexican cuisine. Can you just talk about that, what it means in terms of the context of the exhibition?
Yeah, so it you can definitely taste the corn. Most people who came by today and tasted it without any context, you know, they said it tastes like tortilla, so it tastes like I'm having liquid chips or something like that, because that's the context that they have in their minds. For Mexicans, corn is a very widely used ingredient, so it's used in other foods, in other drinks, but this is like a very direct and very clear way of having masa as a drink. There's usually masa is used for hot drinks like atole. That's a drink, a beverage that's not fermented, and that also tastes very much like corn. But as a cold beverage, tequino is very unique. And we spoke about how part of the immigrant experience in coming to the United States from a different country and then not either being able to go back or not having access to family members, whether they can or cannot come here, also sometimes means that you don't have access to certain flavors anymore, unless you are making these traditional recipes yourself or are in a community that is very diverse. And so these foods are widely available. If they're not widely available, then sometimes you might not experience a flavor for decades. And so a flavor like tequino, which is, again, very corn-forward because it's made with masa, it's tart, it's got complexity in it, is something that you might not ever experience or might not experience in a very long time.
So is there something about memory of access to places that people tasting this can't get to geographically because they're displaced from those locations, but that they still have a very deep association with that you're trying to evoke here?
Yeah, definitely memory requires sensory cues or suggestions to keep those memories alive. Memory can be triggered or evoked by a smell or a taste or a sound, obviously visually too, but you might remember something because you walk through somewhere that, you know, you catch a scent or you're eating something and you catch a flavor and it takes you back. You might not be able to exactly grasp where it's taking you back, but what we're trying to do here is to represent living memory of what it's like to long for something that you've left behind or that you don't have access to. A lot of that is sensorial. The sensory experience of tasting something can continue to make a memory more and more potent and continue to redefine the memory for you. And so traditional recipes are a way to like keep that memory alive.
So it resonates with the larger multi-sensory component of what's going on here at this exhibition, which is all about bringing different senses together and addressing the ways in which our senses are never as separate from each other as we think that they are. Adam, you have some thoughts on this?
Yeah, well, to touch on what you were just talking about, we were really delighted at what Kelsey Renko did with curating the show and bringing it together, because a lot of times museums and galleries have a sterility about them. You're invited in to look without touching. It's a very one-dimensional experience, or it can be a very one-dimensional experience where, you know, it's really just your eyes that are mostly being engaged. And if anything, the lack of sound and smell and taste and touch almost, yeah, it just creates what I feel often is like a sterile experience. And I'm always drawn towards art shows and exhibits and museums that engage more senses, that are even interactive. And Kelsey had the vision to make that happen here and brought us in because she knows that we work with beverages, we work with taste, we work with smell, and that we both have backgrounds in art and music. And so it was cool of her to think of us and to bring us in, and it was amazing for us to see everybody else that she brought in and how it all feeds off of each other. And I would love to see a lot more of this kind of art experience happening on, when, and it does on a larger scale. I've been to like Mass MoCA, for example, or bigger museums that have more interactive types of exhibits within the greater museum setting. But to see it done on a small scale like this in a gallery locally here in Troy was really cool and really inspiring, and I hope there's a lot more of it.
So that's interesting what you just said, because when I was walking around experiencing everything here, walking up to your exhibit and tasting the brew that you had created had this grounding component to it. Like all of a sudden, like, I'm here in this moment. I'm tasting something. I'm not just looking at things. I'm interacting with them in this way that involves multiple senses. And it really drove home the point that you were just making, that purely visual engagements with art can have this alienating element to them that doesn't really bring us into the moment. And simply introducing a taste component had this really powerful element to it. And subsequent to that, I went on to appreciate an audiovisual exhibition, and I felt like I enjoyed it more because I had what you had just given me in my hands. Your thoughts about this?
I feel like it makes sense. The beverage itself is very grounding. It's made with masa. There was also a clay component, and there was this turquoise wall that we painted that came from the color of the tablecloth, which is very reminiscent of my grandmother's home in Mexico. And it could have been the combination of that soothing color, very bright soothing color, and then you just drank something that is actually very grounding, like
literally, it's made of clay.
Yeah. And it was served out of a clay vessel, which again is also very grounding. So it doesn't surprise me that you would have that experience and that feeling. We use the traditional recipe, and we spoke about this when you came up to our installation, that we use the recipe as an anchor for the message, which, you know, was beyond the recipe, beyond the drink, but it was a way to like draw people in and then have them stay for a little bit and step in a little bit closer and then get to experience the rest of what was being expressed, which was, you know, trying to just show what it could feel like to feel separated, whether it's separated from family, separated from home, separated from recipes and foods, a place, something familiar. And so I'm glad that you had that effect.
Me too. So another question. You both run, I should have mentioned this at the beginning, but you're married and you run a business together in Troy. So what is that business and how does it relate to what you're doing here? Adam?
So the two of us, along with Frank and Javi, who are Yee's brothers, we have a brewery here in Troy called Yes Folk Tonics. We specialize in craft fermented beverages, primarily non-alcoholic beverages. And we make a lot of kombucha. We make water kefir and ginger beer and some other funky things. The list of things that we make or can make and have made at home for many years is pretty long, and it includes a lot of funkier, I would say, heirloom fermentation techniques from different cultures, including both of our cultures, which are, you know, Yee and Frank and Javi are Mexican American and grew up spending a lot of time in Mexico in their childhood, and I'm part Egyptian and grew up in the Middle East. And so we bring a lot of different cultural influences into our work, but some of the things that we make or that we can make and would like to share with people are maybe more far out, challenging, fermented foods and beverages that sometimes we wonder if, you know, are people ready for this? Is this going to be too far out or too weird? We're constantly trying to push ourselves and also engage and to some degree challenge our local and greater community by sharing things that maybe, you know, people have never heard of. Maybe they've had nothing like it before, but hopefully if they come with open minds and taste buds, that they'll enjoy. Tonight was a great success in that regard because this is that. This is something that pretty much nobody who came up to our installation had ever heard of or had anything like or had really any context for understanding it. But the vast majority of people seem to really dig it and connect with it and enjoy it. And that's great. That makes us feel like, okay, let's pull some more of these far out ancient fermentation techniques out from under our sleeves that we can share with people in the community. And as long as people are stoked and interested, we'll keep also pushing the envelope and exposing people to more funky stuff.
Some people may experience it as challenging, but I experienced it as just really good. And I think that bodes well for your business. So congratulations to you both on this show and also on the various experimental brews that you're bringing to the people of Troy. And thank you very much for this interview.
Thank you so much.
Thanks.